Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites. Keep them frozen. They're good.
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
I'm Winston Crutchfield. You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. Up today, I have a great conversation with Tom and Kathy Thrush and their Kickstarter project Adventure Journals. But before we get into that, I wanted to remind you about my own Kickstarter project going on now. Opposing Forces is a 192-page tactical manual and bestiary of foes for Fate Core. Some very cool stuff. I'm very excited about it. I've got a lot of interest going on, and I'm excited about that. I'm just excited about it. So, but in the meantime, I want you to hear about something else that I'm excited about. These guys are great people. We had a great conversation, and they have a really cool project. So before I get sidetracked anymore, let's jump into the reaction chamber. I'm in the reaction chamber with Kathy and Tom. They've got a project on Kickstarter right now. It's called Adventure Journals. So if you want to jump ahead and go check that out, you can do a quick search for that. But before we get into all that stuff, so Kathy, Tom, why don't you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll see where it goes from here.
My name is Kathy, Kathy Thrush. I'm a artist and a writer, and I've been gaming for, how long would you say, Tom? 10 years? Well, 13?
Something like that, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, and my name's Tom, and I am an IT guy here in Silicon Valley, and I've been gaming since 1979, so it's been a long time.
I bet you're one of the original Redbox guys, aren't you?
Yes, actually, that was, that's how I started. It was a little Redbox basic set, eventually moved up to the blue expert box. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, my first experience in gaming was with the West End, D6 system. I was introduced by some friends in high school, and we got into playing the Star Wars game, and you know, moved forward from there into just all kinds of everything. The Palladium system. Oh, I loved the Palladium properties that they got. I think that was one of the best business decisions that they ever did. Of course, in the market at that time, licensed properties was huge. They were keeping West End afloat with Indiana Jones and Tales from the Crypt, and of course Star Wars and Ghostbusters, and you know, Palladium had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Robotech, and it was a good time to be a gamer, right?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. It was like the golden age.
Where did you go after the advanced box, the blue box?
Oh, into Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Got the DMG that's missing the spine at this point, and all the corners are beaten up and that. And went into Rollmaster for a while. It was
why
we wanted all the extra complication that went with that.
But, MERP. Yeah. Rollmaster, MERP. Oh my gosh, those tables.
On and on. And Traveler as well. I tweaked that to, because there wasn't a Star Wars game at that point, I tweaked Traveler to be pretty much our Star Wars platform, and unfortunately that campaign ended. It evolved into this player mono-a-mono battle royale, so left a bad taste for everybody, but it was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun while it lasted, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Kathy, what at what point did you do you enter the picture here?
Well, let's see. I'm not sure what year that was, probably, but it was. I played slightly in college, just a few times, and then not until I met Tom and we got together, and so I've mostly been adventuring with Tom.
Okay,
that would probably be the D&D 3.5.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, you know what, I get a lot of flack for this opinion, but I still think that, the advent of the D20 system is, and the open gaming license was one of the best things to happen to the industry, just ever. The D20 system itself took the, I don't want to get hard.
It expanded the possibilities.
It did, and it streamlined the mathematics, and it just streamlined a whole lot of stuff. It got rid of a lot of jargon, and you know, put the production power in the hands of first Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro. But and then the open gaming license you just saw the market explode with products after that. Of course, not all of them were really, really good.
Right.
But they were there, and right. just the sheer volume of things meant that you know, for every four or five products that you picked up that you really kind of wished you hadn't, there was one that that you ever wondered how you ever got along without.
Yeah.
So you're a hardcore D&D gamers going all the way back, huh?
Yeah.
We did play the Battlestar Galactica game.
Oh yeah, that's the Cortex Rules, I think it is.
Yeah, from Margaret Weiss.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's kind of orphanware at this point, or well, I guess it's more of a software term, but kind of orphan gaming where they just produce the core rules and a quick start guide and a GM screen, and then abandoned it, unfortunately. But we had a lot of fun with that.
Oh yeah, I didn't do a whole lot with Cortex. I did a little bit with Leverage when Margaret Weiss had that property, because I love the TV show. But how did you guys find that to be? How well did that work for your gaming styles?
I liked it. The only problem was that one of the reasons we need the journals is because we don't get to play very regularly. So because it wasn't something we were used to playing, we had to like relearn it every time we sat down to play it, which was problematic.
Yeah, not having the D20 rule set is really nice because you can carry it on from session to session and everybody's familiar with it. The Cortex rules were a bit odd with the D2s plus the D12 and on and on, so we had a little bit of trouble with that. But keeping the story straight is important as far as logging what we're doing, since we all have jobs and family and lives, unlike when we
right.
were teenagers and only had high school to worry about.
Right, I understand that. I think our gaming group meets, oh my gosh, we get, we can clear everybody's schedule once a month these days.
Yeah.
Yep, we're lucky if we get that.
Oh gosh.
At one point we read the journal and it had been 18 months since we had played the game. I mean, we play one-time sessions occasionally. We just get a quick adventure in, but our common thread that's been going for our campaign that's been going since 2005, there's been huge gaps, and just somebody writing down what happened last time and rehashing is hugely, it's invaluable is what it is.
Well, yeah, I completely understand where you're going from, where you're coming from. So being the 3.5, the 3.5 fans of the D20 system, here's the divisive question. Did you stick with it through 4th edition, or did you migrate to Pathfinder, or did you, do like a lot of us did and look at your wall full of 3.5 material and say, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah, it's the latter. We said we're good. I did find the Pathfinder interesting, but that also meant that we needed to buy a lot of books. Fourth edition seemed to bring WoW or World of Warcraft to the tabletop, and also they got rid of, I think, gnomes or halflings or something like that, which really made one of our players angry. And we just stuck with 3.5 because we, at least personally, I'm more of a Tolkien-esque role player, you know, light on the magic and such. I mean, it's there, but looking for some sort of, I don't know, realism and fantasy, although that's sort of an oxymoron, I guess, but 3.5 really fits our style and I guess my temperament anyway, if I'm going to be the DM.
Right. Well, I have nothing bad to say about that. The 3.5 books are still some of my favorites. And when Pathfinder came out, our gaming group did make the transition to Pathfinder. You know, 3.75, I guess. And
yeah,
it's really just a revision and a streamlining of the 3.5 rule set, you know, which of course was a streamlining of the 3.0 rule set. I really think at this point, Pathfinder, if you're going to stick with that system and you want further development, I think Pathfinder, you might find it worth your while to investigate some of the, the add-on books or the core books if you're looking for new stuff for 3.5, because it's all perfectly compatible. And I find no reason that they just cannot be a marriage made in heaven. It's worked well for us, but at the same time, it's not something that, we've felt the need to, we've got to have the new Pathfinder stuff because 3.5's old. You know what? I've still got 3.0 books from the Legends and Lairs line that we trot for use in the Pathfinder games. So that's awesome. All right.
Well, as long as people are out there playing, I think that's the real important thing, whether you like 4.0 or the upcoming 5.0 or whatever version it's going to be.
Oh, I know. I looked at the cover and some of the pre-release artwork for that. That is going to be a whole nother conversation all in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, tonight we're talking about your project, your Kickstarter project, Adventure Journals. But this is not your first project on Kickstarter. The first one has to do with some very, very beautifully rendered maps. Why don't you guys tell me about that?
So I was the artist behind the maps. It was just a kind of a random idea we had one day, and I don't even remember where the idea came from anymore.
Oh, Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had his Hobbit Week on when he had a lot of the actors and director from The Hobbit on his show. And at the beginning of the show, they would show a map of the U.S. that was done in Lord of the Rings style. And I'm like, hey, we could do that. So since we live in Silicon Valley, that was the first place we did. So we put that out on a Kickstarter and more than doubled what we were asking. And so now we've got those printed out. And that was what I ended up using for the cover for our adventure journals.
Oh, very cool. And what happened to that project? Are those maps still available?
Yep, the maps are available on our website, which is urbanrealms.com. And I also had got two commissions from the Kickstarter. So one was for Columbus, Ohio, and that one is finished, but we haven't done the Kickstarter for it yet. And right now I'm doing West L.A. for a gentleman who lives down there. So there's more maps on the way.
Oh, that's awesome. That is very cool. And, you know, you mentioned that these are done in the Tolkien style, the Lord of the Rings style. They look very, very cool. This is an art piece worth displaying. And as cover art for the Adventure Journal, that's just that seems very, very fitting.
It does, yeah, it just goes with the style, just having a map on there. There's something about maps that I think just intrigue people. And I had just little cards with the maps on, and I would leave them places, and people always had to pick them up and see, what is it a map of? So something about maps that just draws people in.
Well, what is it about maps that draws you in? I mean, obviously, if you're going to spend all of this time illustrating them and in loving detail, there's something there that draws you.
Well, I like the combination of taking a real-world place and moving it into the fantasy realm. So that's the fun part to me, you know, trying to see an actual place in a little bit of a different way and combine those two things.
Okay, so do you have a cartography background outside of these fictionalized maps?
No, I don't. But I am an artist. I have a degree in studio art, so that's some qualification.
and here I was really hoping for a globe-trotting story of adventure in the Yucatan jungles of Southeast Russia.
I could tell you one.
Could you? Well, you know what? Telling stories is why you started creating the adventure journals, isn't it? Why don't you, where did those come from? Tell me about that.
Well, those came from, in large part because of our busy lives and our D&D adventures that seem to get put on hold so often. We used to not keep notes very well, and we'd come to finally get everybody together after 3 months, and then we'd have to try to sit there and take half an hour trying to figure out what happened last time. So we started taking notes, and since I'm also a writer, you know, I love getting into character and thinking about characters' points of view. So I started taking the notes. Tom would DM, and I'd take notes in the voice of my character, which on our long-term game, the one we play most, is a dwarf woman who has a lot of very strong opinions. So those tend to come out. So we would write these things down in a big old pile of ratty notebooks, and then every time we wanted to play, we'd have to go through all the notebooks to figure out which one our game was in. So I decided that we needed someplace special and someplace specifically for gaming to keep our stories in. And that was it. That was the birth of the Gamer's Journal.
That was the birth of the Gamer's... Say again?
Oh, it's something that actually has a place for dates and who the players are and places for pictures, whereas our little crappy notebooks... we're lacking quite a bit. Some of the pages are coming out.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and it's nice that you can put the name of your adventure on the front, too, so you can keep track of, which game you're playing, and it's easier to find the notebook when you want it and all that. So it just seemed like a much more organized way to keep our notes.
Oh, now, see, organized doesn't go with every gamer I've ever met. some of them, sure, but... tell me a little bit about the graphic design of the interior of the Adventure Journal. How is this different from your notebooks, or from just a blank Moleskine journal that I get at Barnes & Noble?
Right. Well, I tried to put in some nice artistic touches, and besides that, we've got a place for the name of the campaign, who's GMing, who the players are, and what characters they're playing. We have a spot for who's keeping the records and for the setup of the story. On the inside pages, we've got spots for sketches, and then there's the date on the top of every page because, like I said, sometimes it'd be months between our games. And in the back, we've got grids so you can map out a big battle or keep track of something you want to keep track of in the back. So, it's just, I think if there's anything I'm missing that people want to keep track of, oh, and we have a page for items too. So there's a good spot to keep track of all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So how many pages would you say a particular gaming session or maybe story session would take up? It sounds like this doesn't sound like it's a two or three page, two or three items per page kind of deal. This sounds like you've got some really good detailed information here.
And that's all up front, and then the rest is just for keeping track of the actual storyline. There, we have a 50-page journal and a 100-page journal. So it really depends on, how long you intend the campaign to be.
Session is, 4 to 7 pages, I think.
Yeah, probably like something like that. Depending on, how verbose you want to be when you're writing.
Right. Okay, well, let's do a little role playing. Let's say that I am not a very creative type, but I want to use your adventure journal, and the idea of sketching in a map of the region is intimidating because I'm not an artist, and the idea of writing out my character history and character action is intimidating because I'm not a writer. I felt like I did good to get, 2 lines on my character sheet and a whole bunch of numbers. Is this kind of person still going to find your adventure journal to be something that is useful to them? And how might they make best use of an adventure journal?
Well, it's your book, it's your story, and it's your whatever information you feel is important is what you can keep in it. There's spots where you could sketch things, but you could also write down something funny somebody said, or a list of things that you want to remember for next time. And it doesn't have to be...
Or places you visited, something that was key to your character development.
So it doesn't have to be the next great American novel. It just has to be a way for you to keep track of what happened during your game.
A lot of times it's just a stream of consciousness where so-and-so did this, and I saw this happen, and wow, that fireball really singed my underwear.
Been there.
Or, wow, I'm really going to miss my eyebrows. I wonder how long they're going to take to grow back. Something like that. Or I tried to hit him, and it didn't seem to make a difference. And also just rereading it, or reading it when the session starts up for the next game, can be a lot of fun for everybody as they sit around and reminisce what happened. And that's a lot of fun, too, to rehash and see everybody's eyes light up as they remember their role in what happened last time.
Oh, yeah, the best games.
I wouldn't say I write great literature when I'm taking notes.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, but I do try to get, at least what I think my character would be feeling or thinking down and try to keep track of, so-and-so killed this one and they did this. And it doesn't need to be great literature. It's your story. It's just there to remind you of what you did and what your friends did.
That's very awesome. The best stories I've been in are the ones that create that kind of shared experience where we're still talking about them 6 months, a year after the game, after that particular game is over and we've moved on. And plus, I can see something like this. In my case, if I would want to take one of these and not just record these notes for my own use and for our group's use, but I can see handing this down to my kids one day, say, hey, look at the dumb stuff Dad used to do, or there are things that that you find later in life that you never really meant to be an heirloom, that that really do become an heirloom. And you know, part of my business is part of my business is archiving products for people who want to create these family memories. And this just sounds to me like an ideal thing for future generations of gamers. So I find that very, very cool.
I didn't even think about it that way. We have a friend that he can't wait to introduce his children to gaming. They're almost old enough. They're heading towards the tweens, and then they can start picking up dice. And actually, this would be something he could share with them, the adventures that he went through when he was younger playing. So.
Well, even when we get together with old friends that, you know, we haven't seen in years and that Tom used to play with when he was young, if he had a book like this he could bring along and, you know, read passages to them, that would be so much fun because
that would be epic.
Yeah, because we get together and we're like, yeah, didn't you have a character didn't somebody do this or somebody did that? And if you could just go back and look, that would be so much fun.
Very, very cool. Well, let's flip this around and say, what about me? I'm not really a gamer. I don't get into these Dragons and Dungeons games. You know, I'm not big into finding paths or coring out fate or any of these other terms that are completely lost on me. But you know what? I'm a creative type. I've got these moleskin journals that I use for all kinds of other things, and my friends know about it. What are the chances that somebody could give me an adventure journal and I, as a non-gamer, would still find it useful?
Certainly. I mean, maybe you wouldn't need the first page so much. You don't need to keep track of who was GMing or, you know, who the characters were. But the rest is still basically a journal. So anybody who wants to write a story or keep track of a story or an adventure they went on, it would certainly be very useful.
Okay, so it's
fun for a trip.
Right. Oh, well, you know what? Every around here, every trip is an adventure.
Yes, some more than others.
Some more than you are correct. And I confess to a little bit here because I've got a baseball journal because that's something that my family really enjoys. So when we go to the ball game, I've got a little journal where I can get a stamp from the gift shop at the stadium, and I can record the stats and events, and there's a space where I can glue in one of the tickets from the game, and it's very, very cool. It's a neat thing to record our family adventures. And, you know, I just see this as being something like that. So, I completely forgot to mention this before when we were chatting off the air, but can you share with me maybe an overview of an adventure that has made it into your own personal adventure journals?
Well, Tom, our DM, so do you have one that you want to share, honey?
Well, as far as something that happened in the game?
Well, something that you found interesting enough to record in your journal.
Boy, we've got notebooks and notebooks.
Notebooks and notebooks. But yeah, I really did. I mean, I had this in my notes and I looked at it and completely skipped over. I didn't mean to drop it on you like this. Tell you what, think about that and maybe we'll come back to it. In the meantime, tell us where we can find adventure journals right now.
Our adventure journals are on our Urban Realms website, but right now they're only on print-on-demand, so the purpose of our Kickstarter is to hopefully get enough cash to print out a whole bunch of them to take with us because we have a booth at PacifiCon coming up in September.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're going to be selling our maps and the journals and some t-shirts and a number of other things that are all currently on our website at Urban Realms, all designed by me. And then they're also on Amazon right now, actually. And then our Kickstarter, you just do a search for Adventure Journals, and it's right there. The Kickstarter, they are a little less expensive on the Kickstarter than they are anywhere else. So you'll get a discount for backing us on the Kickstarter.
That's very cool. I think that's an interesting business decision, and certainly a way to drive your existing traffic to your Kickstarter project without actually hurting your own sales. So, you
right.
know, kudos there. That's a good move.
Yeah, it worked out well with the maps, although we couldn't put the maps up until we actually finished the Kickstarter because we didn't have the money to get them printed out. At least with the books, we've got a few here because we can get them printed on demand right now.
Right. And you know what? A big part of my business is built around the power of print on demand, making that accessible to the small publisher. And since I deal with, you know, individuals and small businesses, you know, I don't have a need to do, you know, 1,000, 2,000 print run, you know,
right.
copy print run of anything right now. And,
right.
You know, print on demand services make that really, really affordable, really practical. And of course, my own Kickstarter project, I'm hoping to change that. I'm hoping to do a 1,000 or 2,000 copy, print run for
right.
the,
yeah,
for the Opposing Forces book. You know, how exciting would that be? So, before we sign off, we're coming up on time. Tell me real quick about the convention that you're going to. Where is that? When is that?
PacificCon is in September, and it's here in California. Do you remember, honey?
It is. Let's see. Ooh, I don't. It's in September, but I don't know where exactly it's located. I know we're going to go to KublaCon here in San Mateo. I believe this weekend it is.
Right. And hand out some cards and things.
Hand out some cards and things, yeah.
I think PacificCon is, but it's here in the Bay Area.
Oh, very cool. But it's in September, so we have a little bit of lead time. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a chance to have you on the show again before PacificCon and drive you some traffic that way. I think that would be very cool.
That'd be
wonderful.
All right. Well, Kathy, Tom, thank you so much for spending a little time chatting with me, telling me about your project. I think it is a very cool thing. You know, just me personally, I'm in the same boat. I've got notebooks and notebooks and notebooks full of notes, but you know, I run the games as, and we alternate. They don't stick me with DMing duties all the time. But, it's to have something like the Adventure Journal to record the stuff that is really memorable. I think that's a fantastic idea. And we've seen some other stuff where they basically just take a blank journal and slap a fantasy cover on it. But nothing like the extent that you guys have done with Adventure Journals. And I think it's very, very cool. All right. I'm going to keep talking if somebody doesn't cut me off. So,
thank you for having us on.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, my pleasure. And, who knows? Maybe we'll get to do this again, in, you know, August or early September before PacificCon. That would be very, very cool.
Sure. And we'll have more maps coming up soon too, I'm sure. So
sweet. We'll be looking for those. All right, their websites one more time is urbanrealms.com, and their Adventure Journals project is currently funding on Kickstarter, so go and check out both of those. They're very, very cool. And of course, while you're on Kickstarter, click over and check out my own book, Opposing Forces for Fate Core, a tactical
that's
manual
fantastic,
and
by the way.
Thank you. I've gotten some very good encouragement on that. And, you know what, as much as anything else, having that, is really, really great. But, yeah, so check out our Kickstarter projects. And of course, there will be links in the show notes. If, you know, you do like I do and listen while driving, I don't want you, you know, writing these down on the windshield in frost with your finger. That's not going to work out well for anyone. All right. Well, Kathy, Tom, thank you very much. It's much earlier for you guys there on the West Coast than it is here for me in the Midwest. But, you know what? Don't keep all the nice weather to yourself. All right. We had a long, cold winter. Send me some sunshine, huh?
I'll be happy to share.
We'll trade you some sunshine for some rain.
Sounds like a deal. All right. Thank you very much, and
thanks
good night.
A lot. Goodbye.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.